This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0 and as part of our community podcast series. You're listening to Roseanne Murray, and I have with me in the studio today Holly Snape. Welcome, Holly.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
Nice to be on this side of the desk.
It is indeed. I think we worked it out. This is the first time for you being the interviewee.
It sure is. So, yeah, well, first time since we've had all the upgrades here in the studio, and a beautiful studio it is.
It is indeed, yeah, here at Free FM. So if anyone is looking to run their own podcast series, just get in touch with the team here at Free FM.
Yeah, so I think Vicky always likes to have a conversation about what it is that she could support someone to put something cool on air.
Yeah, very good. All right, so we thought today that we're just going to have a good chat about quite a few different initiatives, events, workshops that are coming up over the next few weeks. And we'll start off looking at our amazing e-newsletter, our weekly bulletin that goes out. And so if you're listening and you don't already prescribe to our newsletter, you just need to go onto our website, www.communitywaikato.org.nz, and down the bottom of the homepage, you'll see there where you can easily just sign up to our newsletter, which comes out each week.
Yeah, and you want to do that. You want to be one of the cool kids, because seriously, I think we've got around 3,000 subscribers to that.
More now, yeah.
So totally worth jumping on board. It keeps you up to date with all of the things happening. We obviously share the things that we're doing at Community Waikato, so you can see all of our upcoming workshops, but also what other community groups are doing, what's happening around the Waikato region. So well worth, if you want to sort of stay updated and stay in the know, well worth doing that.
Yeah, good point there indeed. So probably the hot topic at the moment is around the incorporated societies and the re-registration process.
Yeah, and look, you know, I think one of our real concerns at the moment is groups, some groups we're worried don't even realise it applies to them, that they're an incorporated society. We have heard some groups who are trusts start the re-registration process and then realise, actually, no, we're a charitable trust. So we expect that the opposites happen too. I think the confusion comes along at times because people are also registered as a charity, so they think they're a charitable trust, not that they're an incorporated society with charitable status. So, you know, sometimes the language confuses people. It's a shame that the same language was used, you know, charitable status and charitable trust. But the two things are different. So you may have charitable status. You may be a charity, but you might also be an incorporated society. So, Roseanne, if people want to know what they are, they can actually look themselves up.
Yes, they sure can. So they can either, if they are a registered charity, they can go onto Charity Services website, put in their name of their organisation into the register, and it'll come up on the front page with what their legal status is or their legal structure, and that would be as either predominantly an incorporated society or a charitable trust. And as you say, with charity status. The other thing you can do is in the company's office website, they have all the different registers, and you can go on to the Incorporated Societies register.
And it's just societies.gov.nz. That's how you can look it up, societies.gov.nz.
Yep. And putting in the name of your organisation, and then there might be a few with similar names, and just click on the one that's for you. And again, on the front page there, it'll let you know if you are an incorporated society for a start, but also too, which act you are still registered under. It will have down the bottom either the 1908 Act, or if you have already re-registered, it'll have automatically updated that to say the 2022 Act.
Now, just a bit of a reminder, it is quite possible a lot of organisations operate with a particular name, but it is not their actual name. So an example is the community house I'm on the board of. We've operated as Te Whare Kōkanga and Melville Community House. You know, that's how people know us. Our actual name is Hamilton South Community Centre Association Incorporated. Can't imagine why we don't use that all the time. But that's just something to keep in mind as well, is make sure you use the name that is the is the legal name of your organisation, just to, yeah.
Yeah, and we've found that quite a few organisations are a similar situation as Te Whare Kokona, in that they may have a separate trading name that more people associate with rather than their legal name. So good point there, Holly.
So how much longer? But so if people find they haven't re-registered, what are they got to do?
Wow, countdown, unfortunately, is now 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
You have to have completed the re-registration process by the 5th of April, and taking into account that is Easter Sunday, I believe. Realistically, 3 weeks today to get your re-registration process completed. And so if you haven't yet, you need to look at redoing your constitution. At this time of the day, I would be suggesting you go onto the company's website and you actually go through the Constitution Builder, which they have available for you. It's like going through doing a multi-choice, you know, what applies to your organisation, what doesn't. And then you'll end up with the mandatory clauses that you need to have to comply with the 2022 Act. And there's also some discretionary clauses. You can then get a Word document come out of that. And what I am suggesting to everyone is that you hopefully have found your old constitution. Again, you can go onto the Incorporated Societies Register and download the latest constitution you have got there. And I would cross-check across them both, just to make sure that, you know, if there's anything specific in your constitution that's relevant only to you, but you'd want to include in the new constitution, you can bring that across. You can add more stuff. It's just that the constitution builder will have all of the mandatory clauses in there to make sure you comply.
You give a very good piece of advice for people once they've got their constitution together. What you're going to need is your constitution, your updated one, and if you've gone through and used the constitution builder, it should comply. The second thing you're going to need is details, the full names and addresses and contact number of each of your committee members.
Correct. So just if we go back one more step, there's a step in between there, is you really have to have had a special general meeting to make sure that your members are approving that constitution. So again, you've only got a very short time to do that. And so it's about making sure that the constitution is approved.
And in fact, what you could do is, if you thought, you know what, we haven't done this, we need to do this, we'll tell you why you have to do this shortly. What you could do is actually put out a notice now, today, saying special general meeting in a week and 10 days, whatever your constitution tells you. You've got to give some time. And then you can use that time in between to do the rest of the stuff, actually do your constitution. Don't wait till that stuff's done to advise people about a special general meeting. Make sure you've given them time.
Yeah, really good point there, Holly. Yeah, because as we say, time is counting down to 3 weeks away. So it's now getting to that urgent stage. So when you have got that completed, you then need to look at completing an online registration process, no longer just emailing your constitution off to the company's office. So you have to go online. Again, on the company's office website, there is where you can click on the link to complete that process. You'll need to have a RealMe login. So it doesn't have to be the organisation RealMe. It can be an individual. So it could be yourself, if you're the secretary, treasurer, whatever office you hold with that organisation. There is also on the company's office a video. It's about 13 minutes long. Now, I am strongly recommending to people that you actually watch that video, because it does give you a very in-depth, step-by-step process of how to actually go about doing the re-registration process online.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as what it's probably made out to be. But if you do watch the video, and for those that maybe have a possibility of having two screens, whether you've got two different laptops or a tablet and a monitor screen available, is actually even having the video up as you're actually completing the process.
Yeah.
And then you can stop the video and complete what you need to. So making sure that you've got a RealMe, you know what the password is, you can change the password. We had to do that with another group that we were talking with. And then, yes, it's a matter of how you then put in all those details. You'll need to have contact people, and you either have one or up to three contact people. Their details will go in there. And then, yes, you need to have a list of all of your officers, which If you are a committee structure, it is all your committee members, or if you have a board structure, it's all your board members, your officers. And for some, you may have a paid general manager or CEO. They are technically an officer of the organisation yes. there as well.
So anyone with power of decision making.
Correct. Mm. Yep.
So that is going to be quite critical. So make sure if you've got all that information together and you follow the video, so you're going step by step, there's a couple of little spots where it's easy to get a little mislaid if you're not careful. And one of them is that we've had a number of people click the register button rather than the re-register button, and that takes you down a whole other journey.
It does, and you could end up registering a whole new entity, which you don't want to
and
do.
And we have had that happen. So just be aware and make sure you do it, because Roseanne, what could happen if someone isn't re-registered as of the 5th of April?
Yeah, so look, what that will mean is that you'll no longer be registered for a start, and technically you then you lose your legal status. You lose that status of being an incorporated society. And with that, it means that technically you do not have control over your assets. And it could be, in particular, access to your bank account. Mm-hmm. So the banks have actually now been rushing around and sending out communications to all of the different groups that bank with them to also plead with them to, get their re-registration process completed. Because if you don't have your legal status, you could lose access to your bank accounts.
And so we're also finding funders are now saying, if you haven't re-registered, we can't fund you. You need to be able to prove that you have got, because they're worried about putting their money into an organisation, into a bank account that can no longer be accessed.
That's correct. So, you have to prove. So when you do the re-registration process, you will get emailed a new certificate to prove that you are now registered under the 2022 Act. And obviously you would use that when you're putting in your funding applications. And it may be that you need to also send that through to the bank.
Yes.
As proof that that has been completed as well. So vitally important that you do get the re-registration process completed in time, because otherwise you may lose access to your bank accounts and also control of any of your other assets. And as you've just rightly said, Holly, funders may not, well, probably will not accept your funding application if you're not a registered incorporated society.
So, yeah, something to look forward to, guys. Get onto it. If you're thinking, oh, this may impact me, go back, have a look, find out if it's you, and if so, get the process underway.
Yeah, most definitely. And you can just, as I say, go to the company's office website and then click on the Incorporated Societies Register, and they have all of that information there for you.
Speaking of funding, there's a whole lot of funding workshops with COGS coming up, right?
There are, yeah. So obviously the Funding Network have been started rolling out their annual funding workshops around the greater Waikato Rohe. And I see that we've got a few coming up in Tikawiti on the 25th of March, then in Cambridge on the 22nd of April, Morrinsville on the 6th of May, Te Kauwhira on the 27th of May, they're back in Hamilton on the 13th of June, then they're over to Waihi on the 15th of July, and then there's a bit of a trip up around the Coromandel I see on 13th of October in the Coromandel Township, and then the following day on the 14th they're in Whitianga, and then finally back in Hamilton on the 4th of November.
So honestly, these are really worth going to, even if you've done funding for a number of years. The value of attending these, there are changes, right? Things like AI are changing how funders do funding,
yes,
and expectations of the way people will fill in their applications and do their accountabilities. It's really important to know where your funder sits with things like this. So attending these workshops, you just find out what are the changes that are happening, how are they impacting the funding space. But another reason is it is one of the rare opportunities that you have to actually meet and put a face to your organisation, yep, in front of a funder. And that can be invaluable when people are making funding decisions.
Oh, most definitely. If you just think about the thousands of applications that each of the funders will receive for their rounds. And, you know, if they have never heard of your organisation before, you know, and they just want to get a bit more information, whereas if they know you, they can put a face to a name, you know what it's like. It's so much easier to get on the phone, call the person, send them an email.
Exactly.
If you've got that relationship already there. But also, too, they might already have some insight into your organisation that they themselves can pass on to the actual funding committee.
Now, I know we whipped through that list really quickly. This is why it's so worth jumping on to Community Waikato webpage and clicking to receive the weekly bulletin, because it's all there. And then you can actually click in to read more and find out a bit more detail about the funding workshop, where it is, and how to register, because there is a preference that people register for those funding workshops. So, yeah, do go along and check out communitywaikato.org.nz so you can sign up for that.
Yeah, and also, too, on the website itself, if you click on the workshops icon, that'll also take you down to all the workshops that are on between now and the end of the year.
Speaking of workshops, one that is really popular at the moment is policies and processes. And it's funny because, to be honest, it doesn't sound invigorating, right? Like, oh, how exciting, I'm going to learn all about policies and processes. But you know what? We're getting lots of sign-ups for this. And in fact, we're getting close to being full.
We are indeed. And I think a lot more organisations are starting to come to us and asking support around, you know, what policies should we have in place?
I think, again,
a lot more people are actually becoming aware of the compliance side of the organisation, but also too about the actual benefits of having policies in place.
And,
you know, you don't want to get to the situation where you have a massive dispute or you have a health and safety issue or a financial transaction issue.
Yeah.
We didn't have any policy in place, or we don't have the processes in place of what to do from here.
Yeah, exactly. So again, if you are interested in signing up for that, you need to get in quickly. It's on the 23rd of March, so it's coming around in 10 days, and it's very close to being full. It will be held at the Settlement Centre out on Boundary Road. So, yeah, get in touch and sign up if you want to come along to that. You will find that on our website. COGS, we've got a training going on. And you know what's interesting about this COGS, understanding completing your COGS application? So we've got a training with Anne Douglas and Linda G. Both of these are going to be online, so nice and accessible for everyone. We're getting people from outside our region wanting to sign up for these.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? So it's a great collaboration between ourselves and the DIA, Department of Internal Affairs, to look at putting these two online workshops in place for people who may have not previously applied for a COGS application, or again wanting to just have a refresher on what we should or shouldn't be doing in that space. So yeah, great workshops that will be coming up and lined up also timing wise for when the actual COGS applications for this year will open, which is very shortly, between middle of April and through to the middle of May. And then there's all the public meetings coming up aren't there as well.
Sure are.
People to come along, they've been invited, especially the previous recipients of COGS funding, invited to come along and have a conversation with the DIA and the local distribution committee, but also to help co-design and develop what the priorities are going to be for the next 12 months as well, which I think is vitally important.
Absolutely.
For the community to be involved in that. So again, on our website, instead of us having to go through all the different dates, that information is there on all those COGS public meetings that are coming up, which actually start next week from memory.
Yeah.
I know next Tuesday I'm going to Ngarawakia to the Waikato West distribution community committee area, and that's going to be at the Ngarawakia community house.
Yes, on which of course you are one of the assessors on COGS.
I am going to be going forward. Yes, so no pressure on me.
Yeah,
and they like to have local community people involved, or other people who have a good awareness of the community and actually the community sector as well. So again, it's all that information is also in our e-newsletter as well.
So another interesting opportunity coming up, we're working alongside Tony Agar, who is with the Hamilton Budgeting Advisory Trust, and they do incredible work. Tony is hugely committed to supporting people to understand how to make their money work for them, how to navigate some tough spaces. He's very, very good, and he's putting on a seminar, a bit of a conversation on planning for retirement. So he's calling it Planning for Retirement, a community conversation. It's only $20, which is fantastic, very, very affordable. It's an opportunity to talk or hear about a three-hour workshop for people who are working or volunteering in the community sector who want time and space to think about their retirement in a realistic way. And of course, retirement can sneak up on us, right? And it feels like, I'm sure one day we're earning, relatively good money. We're earning regular income, and suddenly we're looking at a very fixed income that might be quite reduced. And so thinking ahead about how do we just prepare so this doesn't become, doesn't throw us into poverty, throw us into a tailspin, right?
And I think also too from a mental wellbeing perspective as well, the whole change in dynamics for that person or even for their whānau. And I know that we've also got Aged Concern who are going to be there as well as volunteering Waikato. And I know some people have worked all their life and then all of a sudden the next day they're not going to work. They've lost that routine and they've potentially lost their second family.
Yeah.
You know, their work family as such. And I know that a lot of people have found that really, really hard.
Yeah.
And so I know there's also going to be some conversations around, you know, what does this mean for you? What could you now be pivoting and looking to do going forward? Is it maybe doing some volunteering out there?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, this isn't just for people who are like 63, 64. You know, this is really for if you're thinking, actually, I really should be thinking about this and I have some questions, or you might even tell yourself, I don't know what I don't know. And just a great opportunity to learn something. That is going to be on the 21st of April. You will need to sign up for it. So do jump on our website and go into the workshops area and you can click on that one and register your details.
Yes, and look, another workshop that we've also got coming up, which is there's going to be two, one in May and one in August, is around, this is for your boards, your committees, around understanding budgets, your financial reporting, and what does that mean, and how can I be more confident about reading a financial report or understanding around looking at the variance between actuals and budget figures.
Yes.
So important. And so, Anne Douglas, one of our colleagues, runs a really good workshop around that. And very down to earth, and very practical.
You know, she often says, because she's not an accountant, she speaks everybody's language. So this is presented in a way that people who, you know, many of us come into the sector, we end up running organisations because we're passionate about them and we might have some skills in the area that we are working in, but we're not necessarily CFOs, right? We're not necessarily accountants. That's a side of the job we kind of have to learn along the way. And this is a wonderful way to build those skills. And Anne is trying to really stress the importance of understanding, the importance of a budget and the importance of a budget variance.
Correct. You know,
and we were a bit shocked, I think, to actually realise how many organisations are operating without a budget.
Yep.
You need one.
You sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because how else do you know whether you've, you know, got sufficient funding?
And it's interesting because often people will look at, well, we've got money in the account.
Yeah.
But that money is actually tagged to things, right? And it needs to be spent at particular times. It also needs to be fully spent at particular times, or you might find that you have to pay some money back. Understanding your budget really helps you to do that. And so if you haven't done a budget before, I mean, this is for anyone really, anywhere along their journey of understanding budgets. You don't have to come with any knowledge.
No.
But you could come with a budget in place and think, okay, do I have everything I need in my budget? Do I need to tweak this more? How do I report well to the board using this budget. So you could be anywhere along the spectrum.
And it actually could be for your own personal benefit as well.
Yes,
you know,
definitely.
Many people don't have their own personal budgets. So could be for you personally, but also too for the organisation that you're a part of. And a reminder to committees or boards, you are actually legally responsible
yes.
for the financial position of your organisation. You
yes.
can't just leave it to the treasurer. You can't just leave it to the paid administrator or finance
yep.
person. It is actually the governance of the organisation that is responsible, has to have that financial oversight, don't they?
You might also be working in an organisation and thinking, I'd like to one day be managing this place. I'd like to be, you know, you maybe want to prepare yourself to
yeah.
be able to, so you know, grow some of those skills. Wonderful opportunities. Only $50 as well. So
for 3 hours, that's amazing,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
yeah. And you'll come away with handouts and so much more knowledge and confidence.
Exactly.
Which is awesome.
And we're running out of time, but we've got another one to talk about. And that, see, with so much going on.
I know. There is so much going on at the moment. That is so real.
But this is a good one. I tell you what, lots of people dealing with challenging situations.
Yep.
So this workshop explores strategies to handle challenging interactions, stay calm under pressure, and enhance self-awareness and impact in conflict situations. And this could be a variety of things. It might be many of us working in frontline services have people coming into our services and they're distressed or they are intoxicated or, you know, they have a mental health crisis. There could be lots of different things that might be influencing somebody's behaviour. And this is a workshop that helps explore some of the skills and tools that you can employ to de-escalate those situations. Could also be personal. It could be, you know, the dynamics between team members, you know, that you
yep.
can apply the same approach. It could be in the home even. So this is a really, really good workshop that really is about talking about what it is to be in these challenging situations and the kinds of tools we can use to help navigate through those situations without making things worse.
Yeah, that's right. Having even more conflict than ever. Yeah, no, that is so true. And so we've got two coming up. Our colleague Karen Stockman, who does an amazing job with this, has got workshops on the 8th of June, 9:30 to 2:30. And then again on the 18th of September, same time, both at the Settlement Centre. And for $80, awesome opportunity to come along to that. And you'll get so much out of that workshop if you do see this could be of real benefit to you or people within your organisation as well.
And worth registering a couple of you from your organisation if
yeah,
you can.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, Holly, we've only got like 10 seconds to go. So it's amazing what's coming up and what our team's involved in. So look, everyone, www.communitywaikato.org.nz. Go onto our website, subscribe if you haven't already, or go and check out all of the workshops that are coming up. So thank you, everyone. Ka kite.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.